Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm your host, Pam. With me tonight, I have my lovely co-host, Dawn. How you doing, Dawn?
I'm great. How are you, Pam?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm real excited for our guest tonight, so let's go ahead and bring him on. We have the wonderful, comedic, and also can be in scary movies, actor, Jody Thompson. Welcome, Jody.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome. So I guess we'll get right down to it because the scary movie happens to be The Bay, and I watched the trailer. I haven't seen the movie yet, going to, but I'll do it through fingers. How did you end up getting that part?
My agent in Atlanta, we put it on tape, the audition. I'd kind of forgotten about auditioning for it, and few weeks later, I got a call that I got the part. But really, when I got the part, I didn't realize that Barry Levinson was attached to it. So I just was kind of like, it's just another movie. So I really didn't think much about it.
Yeah. Well, I know that it's produced by the same producers for Paranormal 2 and Insidious. So I can see why, you know, this movie is the same theme of being scary. And did you watch it when it came out?
I actually went to New York. They had a premiere up at the New York Film Festival. So it was cool to get to see it for the first time here in the States with a live audience. And, yeah, there was a bunch of jumping going on. So it was really, really pretty awesome.
I can imagine just from the trailer alone. I'm going, ooh.
Yeah, there's some crazy, crazy stuff in this film. So you're definitely going to want to check this out.
So when they opened up the fish's mouth and
yeah, that little creature, it's actually a real creature. They're called isopods, and they're in the ocean. And they can grow up to 2 feet sometimes. So, pretty creepy. So that's not a made up creature. And I think in the movie, actually, Barry shows a picture of one of the isopods, a huge creature. I believe this one was trying to eat its way through the bottom of a boat. And,
oh my gosh!
But that was a real photo. So it's pretty crazy.
Wow, that's another reason for me not to go in the ocean. First, it was Jaws. I'm dating myself now, and now isopods.
Yeah, Jaws. You know, they said Jaws made you afraid to go into the water, and they say this movie just makes you afraid of water. Period. So that's kind of crazy.
And as you're talking about it, I'm like Googling, and Pam, don't Google it. That's all I'm going to tell you. It is the most creepy, disgusting thing I've ever seen. And for you to confirm that they live in the ocean, that this is real, that just makes the movie even more, you know, freakish all the way around.
Well, now the movie's supposed to take place in Maryland, but we actually shot the film. Now, Dom, where did you say you were from? You're from which Carolina?
North Carolina.
Okay, so Georgetown, where's Georgetown? I think Georgetown, maybe South Carolina, maybe, but
yes,
it's close to Myrtle Beach.
It is. It's down below Myrtle in South Carolina.
So we actually shot the film in Georgetown, South Carolina. And there was actually a scene in the film, I think it's in the trailer, where they open up a fish's mouth and put a camera down in there, and you see these little creatures inside the fish crawling. Mm-hmm. That is a real fish that they pulled out of the bay. There's no special effects. They pulled that out of the bay that was there in North Carolina and just stuck a camera down there. And, yeah, it's good times had by all after they saw that. So.
Now, did anybody have the creepy crawlies after seeing that this was a real thing?
Well yeah, the whole premise behind the movie is, you know, there's 85% of this that is really fact-based. And now the size of those are probably a little bit bigger than most of the actual ones. But the premise behind the movie is that there's a factory that has chickens, and they're dumping the chicken excrement into the bay, and then these creatures are feeding on the excrement and basically getting larger than they should be.
Okay.
And then these creatures get inside the fish, and when the people of the town eat the fish, I think we know what happens.
Yeah.
I saw the guy's stomach
in that trailer.
It was good. So you guys are up for some Red Lobster after this?
Oh, yeah, right.
What was that you were saying before we went live, Pam, about where is the wine? I think we're going to need it if we're going to partake. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
The neat thing about this film is that lends to the believability of it is that Barry is using all kinds of different cameras also. So he'll use stuff that you use in your everyday life. Like there's an iPhone cam, there's Skype cameras. In my case, there's a police dashboard camera. So they blend all these different mediums together to tell a pretty convincing story. And that's what makes it a little bit extra scarier. Maybe if it were on the big screen, something you're used to seeing, you can kind of separate fact from fiction. But in this case, it hits pretty hard when you're seeing it on these mediums that you're familiar with.
Right, exactly. Wow. Well, I'm sure that there's going to be many, many, many fans that will love watching that movie because there's a lot of people out there that like to be scared. And that's why all these movies are such big hits.
Definitely. This is, like I say, this is one. There's about four or five different moments in this film where I can pretty much guarantee you will jump up out of your seat. So.
Well, and now that you've told me where it was filmed, I'm going to tell you now that I'm going to really look at Myrtle Beach and that whole area of the beach completely differently now when I go in the future. So thank you.
Let's hope that the Myrtle Beach Tourism Board doesn't come after us.
Yeah.
I suppose just need to stay
Myrtle Beach is
it,
wonderful.
Right?
You guys go. It's fantastic. The most wonderful place on earth.
It's my favorite beach to go to because you can go any time of year and there's still plenty to do. You know, it's not just strictly beach. So it's wonderful. I love it. So that's really cool that, you know, you let us know where it was actually filmed. Georgetown is, I've never actually been there, but I hear it's just a quaint little town, and it is. It's a nice place.
Beautiful town, and they were, the people were very gracious and pretty much just allowed us to come in and take over the whole town. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And what kind of homework do you do for your roles?
Well, first of all, I find out what my character is, what it is that I'm playing. This one that happened to be a police officer, but obviously most most police officers don't encounter these little creatures.
Right.
But in this film, I pretty much, the whole idea behind this film is no one really knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
No one in the town has a clue as to why these people are dying. They just know people are falling down dead in the street. So it's not too hard to act when you have these makeup people did some fantastic job. So when I'm sitting down looking at a person who's been fished out of the water and half their tongue is missing, I don't really have to act. I do pretty much what you just did.
Yeah.
Oh gosh!
Yeah, I know.
But
are you
most
a
of
quick
time,
learner
I,
when it comes to studying your lines?
I think I'm pretty good, but I like to take a little bit of time. There's been a few occasions when I go in, I'll read for a part, and they
one
ask
or
me to read
them alone.
Excuse me?
Do you practice with someone when you're running lines?
I prefer to do it by myself.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I don't like listening to any other actors around me because then the way they deliver their lines gets in your head and you start second guessing yourself. And I just want to do it the way that I have it visioned in my head. And so, yeah, I try and keep the process all to myself.
Yeah, I mean, I guess sometimes you could maybe, when you're practicing with somebody, take on their part of the role without realizing you're doing it. So that's it's good, I guess, to do it that way.
Yeah, most of the time I just do acting or rehearsing the lines with myself. Or if I have someone read with me, I prefer having a non-actor read with me just because they really don't put in that much emotion or anything into the scene. It makes it a lot easier for me to just focus on my part and the emotions that I want to bring out.
That's understandable. I mean, I'm not even an actor, and I can understand what you're saying on that. In Sweet Home Alabama, when you got up and you said your line, you saluted and fell back down, I thought that was so hysterical in that part of the movie. You played in a lot of comedies, Parental Guidance and Butter, Soul Men, what else, Meet the Browns and more. Do you feel that comedy is your forte?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's something I'm comfortable with. I feel the most confident with. I've done a lot of commercials, and when you have a background in doing commercial acting, a lot of the times I would say 85% of the commercials I audition for are comedy-based.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the script is so loose on a commercial that when you go in there, I just go totally off script and do the craziest thing I can think of. So it's basically you're just improvising.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like to do. And I still like to bring that into my film acting and television acting. I always try to add a little something different that I think I can get in there if the scene is a comical scene.
Right,
if it's
right.
Serious, if it's more serious, I stick more to the script.
Now, I read, too, that you met up, because you acted with Billy Crystal, but also he did, like, an improv for you.
Fantastic. I was shooting this movie last year. It's probably last year around this time. And just you're on set, you have downtime, you're talking with each other. And we started talking about him hosting the Academy Awards. And I would bring up something, and he would just go into the entire bit that he had done on the Academy Awards. It was awesome. We started talking about The Princess Bride, which is one of my favorite movies, and he started telling all the stories that happened on set, and he's going into the voice. He was a little Jewish man in that, and it was just it was awesome. Well, what was really great about and kind of surreal is that we're talking about the Academy Awards, and at the time we were talking, Eddie Murphy was slated to host last year's Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
About a week later, Eddie dropped out, and they called Billy Crystal to host the Academy Awards. So last year, Billy Crystal got to host the Academy Awards. We found out probably a week after I was talking to him about the Academy Awards.
Isn't that something?
And, yeah, so what I'm trying to say is I'm responsible for Billy Crystal hosting the Academy Awards.
I was
going
to say, he had to give you credit for that.
Of course. You guys know this, so.
Yeah.
But it was really just kind of surreal and fantastic.
Yeah, Billy Crystal is definitely one of my favorite actors, comedians, and that. He's just, he kills me with those different voices.
He's a really sweet, down-to-earth man.
Can you do any different voices like he does?
I do not. And if you were to ask me to do one, you're not going to get it. So yes, I do a good George Washington.
Yeah.
And I'm George Washington. Vote for me. Whatever. Okay. I need people that it's impossible for you to know what they sound like. So I can do those people spot on. So it was weird. I, I saw a preview for the new Steven Spielberg movie, Lincoln. I don't know if y'all have seen previews for this yet.
I have.
And it's going to be awesome. And Daniel Day-Lewis looks exactly like Abraham Lincoln. But when he opened his mouth and started talking, I just turned to my friend and said, that is not what Abraham Lincoln sounds like.
No.
No one knows, but it. I was like, hey, there's no way he could have sounded like that. So anyway,
yeah.
Just a fun little side note.
How many, I mean, do you speak any different languages at all?
I don't, you know, just I speak a little bit of Espanol, and of course, being from the South, I speak pig Latin. And I think Don and I were talking earlier, I can very easily slip into banjo, which is really, really redneck as it gets. So,
but not
I won't even attempt that.
I know.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to hear. Do you? The question is, do you speak? I would love to hear you speak your attempt at speaking banjo.
Yes. Go ahead, Pam.
Me? I don't even know what it is. I mean, other than Southern. And, John, you know I already slaughterish, so.
It's okay. Actually, and you're referring to that, and I did not even, myself, I'm not even sure what speaking banjo is, if that tells you. I sound Southern, but I don't know how true Southern I am.
No, you're good. You're really, you're doing an excellent job. You're doing a good job. You're picking right now.
I get it. Okay. Well, now we
get your scrub board, Don, and your spoons. I told you. I knew you could do it.
Yeah, well, you know, but people, I don't know what it is. I can go to other parts of the country, and truthfully, Jenny, they either guess, they say, are you from North Carolina or are you from Texas? You know, it's always those two states, And in some places, depending upon where I travel to, I'm afraid to open my mouth. So it's, you know, I imagine if I ever travel to New York, I will just not say a word the entire time I'm there.
No, when I lived in California when I was doing some acting out there. I'm back and forth quite a bit. But when I first moved, I moved out there, I was out there a few years actually staying out there in the early 2000 to about 2002. And when I first got out there, I thought I neutralized my accent, but everyone was just like, you're the countryest person I've ever heard, Jody. So it's anywhere you go, you think you've gotten rid of it. It's not exactly the case. Like you say, when you go to a different part of the country, I guess the real country boy comes out. So
right. And well, even if you're not a country boy, a lot of times, like my son went to school in Southern Illinois. I mean, that's not that far away from me, but he came back saying y'all. I'm like, what's up?
Yeah.
They say y'all in Southern Illinois. Maybe
yeah.
Southern Illinois thing. Wow.
Yeah, it did. Honest. He came back.
That's
he was
hilarious.
Only there like 6 months and came back talking like that. So
A changed man.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
But it's really for the better. It's better. I love the people from the South. It's, you know, some of the sweetest, most down-to-earth people going. So.
Oh, for sure.
Proud to be from the South.
Definitely.
Well, you know, it's that Southern hospitality thing. Isn't that what they say?
That's it. I had a little bit of a shock when I first moved out to L.A. Now that I've been out there, it's not like this. But when I remember when I first got out there, just walking down the street, saying hello to people on the street, you know, they kind of put their head down or not look at you. You know, who is this circus freak saying hello to me on the? So, you know, it's kind of like that. And now, nowadays, I kind of do the same thing. I was in New York, like I say, about a month ago, and I was shocked. I was expecting people to shun me because I've been up there a few times before, and you kind of you know, people just aren't as friendly. But I don't know. It's kind of cool. They seem almost going out of their way to be friendly. So maybe the world's a lot smaller than we think it is.
Maybe
yeah.
You're more recognizable now from when
Definitely.
You first yeah. left that little patch in that little town.
Yeah, there you go.
Definitely, definitely.
Now, if you could write a movie, who would you cast, and what would it be about, and what location would you like to be
in? Wow, that is the most awesome three-part question I've ever heard in my life. If I could write a movie, what would it be about? Wow. That's a great idea. Actually, a buddy of mine had an idea, and I always thought this would be a great film. It takes place during a Johnny Cash concert at Folsom Prison.
Okay.
Folsom Prison is a famous album that Johnny Cash did, a live album at a prison back in the 60s. Is Folsom Prison. And basically the gist of the movie is that these two inmates plan an escape the day of the Johnny Cash Folsom Prison concert. Because all the guards and everybody's distracted. And basically the end of the movie, I don't know all the details on the inside of the movie, but I know that the end of the movie, the two prisoners escape on Johnny Cash's little tour bus. And there's a moment when Johnny could give them up, but he acts like no one's there and tells the guards no one's on the bus. And that's kind of the end of the movie. They kind of roll off on the bus with Johnny Cash. Kind of cool.
I like that.
So I like it just because period, it's a period piece. I find a lot of times being from the South that I do a lot of period pieces, like from the 30s, 40s, and so there's a lot of racial type roles that I've done down here in the South. Mm-hmm. But who would I have to star in a movie? Wow, that's
right.
A great question.
Besides yourself.
I'm a big fan of Sam Rockwell right now. He's one of my favorite actors.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I don't know if you know who he is, but he was in Iron Man 2, and he was in this new movie that just came out maybe a week or two ago called The Seven Psychopaths. He's just a great character actor, so I think I would like to have him in there. And who else? Maybe Megan Fox, just because she's so freaking hot.
Oh, she's so pretty, yeah.
That's about it right now. So that, and of course JoJo Thompson. So that'd be me.
Well, let's hope Brian Austin Green isn't listening to the interview.
yeah, really.
Lord, yeah. Are they married? Are they still married? I guess I don't know.
Yeah, they're
they
married.
Just had a baby too.
They had a baby.
Mhm.
Wow, I feel like such a perv now. Way to go, Jody. I renege on everything. Good grief. I can't be talking about moms.
Well, look, to your credit, you know, she probably is going to resume acting at some point, and she may be looking for work. So, you know, that's my safety.
Yeah, I have a great role for you, Megan, if you're listening.
Right.
There you go, see?
I'm going to be really mad, though, if someone in the next year, a Johnny Cash Prison Break film comes out. We'll know where they got the idea from, right?
You need to start working on it and get it to the Indie Film Festival or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
For real. Yes, you need to. So it sounds really interesting, actually, and I would certainly go see it. So
I would too. I love Johnny Cash. I thought.
Yeah.
So any acting bugs from you ladies? Neither
no.
of you.
Not
Either
really.
You
when I was younger, you know, I thought about it, but I have such a fright to be in front of people, even in school when I had to read something in front of the class. I'd turn beet red and, you know, heart would go 100 miles an hour. So I don't even know how I'd get over that to go on stage or anything like that.
I used to be shy, too. So.
Yeah.
I was shy when I was very young, but as I grew older, I you know, in high school I ran for class president, and, you know, you had to get up and give a speech, and I've always maintained that if you could get up in front of your class of peers that you, you know, you went to school with and give a speech, you could pretty much do anything. So, you know, because that's so different from getting up in front of people that you don't know and they never see again, but those can be your worst critics and your harshest critics, of
course.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
when I was a kid, I was 6 years old, our kindergarten class did a circus, and I was one of the lions of the circus. And I call myself the outcast lion because I think my grandmother made my lion costume, and everybody else bought their lion costume from the same store, so I kind of looked... different, and all I really remember is being up on stage, and my lion hood fell off, and I ran off stage crying. So that was my first introduction to being a thespian. So, you know what they say is if you fall down, get back up.
Well, we're glad they did.
Start around again, so yeah, I'm glad that I did.
Yeah,
Dawn,
well,
you
want to
say something?
I was just going to say, you know, that if that didn't turn you away from acting after that, then that means that you've definitely taken the right path for sure. So, and gosh, I don't know if I'll get brave enough to go see The Bay though. I mean, the trailer really freaked me out, but
you have to see it. Don't shame on you. Shame on you.
God, it's those whole critters.
Time to get a little courage here. Muster it up, sister.
Well, you know, that's true. And if I'm a true Southern
we Southerners
mom,
have
to
support each other.
Right,
there
right.
You go. There you go. Well, okay, I'll brace myself and I'll go do it. But if you hear blood-curdling screams all the way where you are, you'll know that it's the Southern gal screaming banjo all the way from the Carolina movie theater.
Yeah, people will be like in the movie theater and be like, I don't understand. I was in the movie, I was watching it, but every once in a while someone kept playing a banjo in the back of the room. I could not understand what was happening.
I love it.
It was the creepiest thing ever.
And we thought the movie was bad. They made the movie look good.
Yeah.
Now I don't wanna, you know, impact sales on the movie now. I mean, we really want to help this along. So, you know, maybe I'll wait until it comes out on DVD. That way I can't scare anyone.
You just have to use your hands, your fingers, over the eyes, certain parts. You peek through. That's how I do it.
I'm telling you right now, I actually, when I was in New York, I had my wife with me and my sister. And it's always good to see one of my films with people who kind of were involved because, you know, you get kind of jaded. And when I'm watching, you know, my performance, I'm kind of judging myself. And it's just a little refreshing to be there with people who are separate from the industry. And so when they're jumping up out of their seats, as my wife and sister did, like I say, 4 or 5 times, it's real reaction. So we know that we did our job right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so true.
Now, do you critique yourself for every part that you do?
Well, there's a lot of times I don't even like to watch myself. I'm probably harder on myself than most people. I just want to get better and better and what I do. And I will say that in this movie, The Bay, I'm very proud of my performance, and I think I did really, really good. I'm not saying I don't have a problem looking at myself up on screen, but it's like a one or two time thing, and then I'm done, you know. And I just try and keep moving forward and face on or focus on the next project.
Right. And you shouldn't be so hard on yourself, because you have to think of it this way. You made it into the film. You weren't edited out and ended up on the floor.
That's
so
true.
You must
let me tell
your
you,
job.
There have been several moments when I've wound up on the cutting room floor, or a part that I worked on for several weeks is cut down to nothing, you know. It's like, oh, my word, what in the world did I do? But usually the bigger the budget, the more they do that.
Really?
Well, you know, they can afford to
yeah.
cut down whatever part it is. So, but
well,
I'm really fortunate to have done some pretty awesome work, so I'm pretty pleased.
Which was your favorite role to play?
Well, there's been a lot. Actually, I had a lot of fun doing this film, just because it was so kind of low key and laid back, and we were able to ad lib and improv quite a bit in this film. But let's see, I did a movie about FDR called Warm Springs. It was an HBO Emmy Award winning film, and it was pretty awesome. I worked on that for about 3 weeks, and it was like going back in time, you know, just the days of FDR at Warm Springs. And so it was just cool to be on the set that long. I never want to stop learning my craft.
Right.
So being on a set, I'm soaking up every moment, everything that I'm doing. And, you know, the longer I am on a set, the more fun it is for me. So
right.
I've been able to meet a lot of cool people. Sweet Home Alabama. Now, I only shot that for, I think I was on that just a couple of days. But it was just, it was so fun, you know. Patrick Dempsey and myself were rapping together.
Oh, really?
When do you get to do that, you know?
Yeah,
so
really.
Kind of freestyle rapping and joking around, and we just had a blast. So it was really, really cool.
Yeah, I love
something
it. I
videotape it.
You know, also just I've got to go to some pretty cool locations, you know, Montreal and a bunch of different places that – yeah, I wouldn't have gotten a chance to go to had I not been doing this. So,
yeah.
Exactly. Now, if you go on a location out of the country to, let's say, Vietnam or something, are you the type of person that would try any food that was put in front of you?
I will try just about anything once, you know. And I guess in that situation also, it comes down to if I'm in like a private person's home or if I just bought it from a street vendor, you know.
Right.
If I'm in a private person's home who it would be considered rude that I don't eat this dish, then I would definitely be more willing to down it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to Indonesia before and what was some weird stuff I've had? I do know that, like, one of my first mornings in Indonesia, for breakfast I had rice, which sounds like nothing too crazy, but the rice was, whatever they had in it, was so spicy hot that my mouth was on fire. So I went to go grab the water to wash it down, and they had boiled the water. To get out the impurities, they have boiled the water.
Oh, no.
So what I did is basically eat the spiciest rice in the world, and then I washed it down with the hottest water in the world.
Oh, my God.
And that combination is not at all what you expect on both accounts. You're like, oh, rice. This is going to be regular rice, and your mouth is on fire. And And then you think, well, I'm just going to cool off my mouth right now with some water, and you're drinking boiling water. That's not that fun. So.
Yeah.
No, that didn't work out so well for you, did it?
No, definitely not.
Oh, wow.
I think
but,
you should always
no,
carry crackers with you.
Always carry crackers with you, yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'm up for trying stuff, so I'm not too shy on that.
Well, you have more courage than I do because I don't eat American food, so let alone something else that's a bug rolled up in chocolate or something. You know,
you gotta try something, once in a while. Now this is a shame. What I'm about to tell you is a shame, but my wife and I on our honeymoon went to Italy, got to eat some awesome food. It was great, but. You know, when I'm thinking spaghetti, it's a different type of Italian food. So
right.
maybe I was too Americanized. I like thicker sauces and things like that. And all their sauces were very kind of runny and watery. And so by the end of our honeymoon, we're basically scouting out Florence for a McDonald's. Now, that's a shame. Is that not a shame?
Yeah,
that is like being way too Americanized and used to this
pretend
American spaghetti
Italian
or
food.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Prego, pretend, yes. Thank you, Maggiano's.
Did you enjoy Italy while you were there, other than the food?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. We got to go to some really, really cool places, and it was like going back in time in certain places. So I just love the fact. I remember we went into a lot of museums, a lot of different churches, and the crazy thing is I would see these paintings hanging on the wall from 1587 so old. These paintings are older than America. The oldest paintings going, but after a while, there is only so many Madonna with Child paintings that you can see.
I think
everyone we saw was Madonna with Child. But some of these churches, we'd walk in and see these paintings, and this painting was so old, but I could have taken the painting off the wall and walked right out of the place.
Oh,
like,
my God.
There's not any kind of protection or anything for this. So I did.
Well, maybe,
I had an awesome
maybe you couldn't see
house.
Them. Maybe you couldn't see the what? Protection if you tried to take one.
Maybe. So. Well, I stuck a piece of bubble gum in the corner of one of the paintings. I'm totally kidding. I actually stuck it to the back of the painting.
Yeah.
I'm kidding you.
Because you saw it was slipping off the wall, right?
Right.
You were just helping.
I'm about protecting and preserving. That's,
right.
That's what I was about. So.
Okay, so you're so funny, so I have to ask this. Have you ever done stand-up comedy?
I have, yes. I have quite a bit. And in all kinds of different locations. But, yeah, I've done a few, and it's been pretty exciting.
Do you ever get a heckler in the crowd and then just go after them like I've seen other people do?
I don't know. I'm kind of standoffish when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, freestyle. When I'm up there, I just kind of stick to my set routine. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone says something, I may throw in a line or two, but there's so many hack lines that comedians use that everyone uses. So I try and stay away from that. You know, people, they all use the same lines. Hey, don't make fun of me up here. I don't come down to McDonald's and make fun of you while you're working.
Oh.
That thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
that's
all
pretty
cheesy.
Bad.
Kid, they're just TV lines, right? So,
right.
but yeah, I've done stand up in the craziest places too. I did when I lived in LA. Believe it or not, this was a very hot comedy place at the time. But I did stand up at a sushi place.
Oh wow!
This place was packed with. I was seeing all kinds of former. There used to be a comedy show, maybe America's. It was like American Idol. I can't remember the name of it.
Black America's Funniest Videos or Talents.
I think it was called Last Comic Standing was the name of
the
show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. So, I mean, half the guys that I saw on that show were performing at the sushi place. So it was pretty crazy. But I got up and I like to do kind of physical comedy, too. So The stuff I was doing was just totally ridiculous. Ridiculous stuff.
And you don't want to make anybody mad in a sushi place, right?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Someone will roll me up in the rice paper and serve me. I do not want that. So. But obviously I've been... Normal comedy clubs and stuff, but that's definitely the most crazy place I've done comedy in. And actually, it was a great crowd. They were really energetic and excited to be there.
Would you ever consider being behind the camera for like as a producer or director or even maybe a writer for a comedy show or something?
I think every actor kind of has that dream, but obviously when I'm writing or when I'm wanting to direct or something like that, the thing that I'm writing isn't for someone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing that role for myself or possibly a friend that I have in mind. So I'm always thinking of different things I can do just to be working, just to get out there. Even if it's something as simple as, doing a video web series or making a pilot or a good friend of mine out in Atlanta, an actor named Russell Comedy. He's really, really well-known actor around town and, he and I are talking about a certain pilot that we're going to want to work on together. So it's just a matter of slowing down and actually doing it.
Right.
So busy and caught up. And I'm the dog who's running around and someone waves their hand and I go chasing after that person and someone else waves their hand and I go chasing after that person. So kind of all over the map.
Right.
So if I have a part that comes up all of a sudden, I'm totally focused on whatever is right in front of me.
Right.
So tomorrow another part could come and I'd be focused on that. So it's kind of hard for me to kind of slow down and, that's why, for me, the writing process takes a little bit longer.
Yeah, you'd
what
actually
I'm trying to
have
say, ladies,
to go on
is
I was going to say, you'd actually have to go on an isolated island or something with no phone or anything and to be able to sit down and get it all out.
Yeah,
no
I'm a child of ADD. I'm trying to say I have ADD, basically.
Yeah.
So, if you guys have any Ritalin, let me know.
Yeah.
slow me down. So.
Oh, guys. Well, of all the projects that you've done and of all the experiences you've had, you have one in particular that just really is like just stands out for you.
Well, like I say, I'm really, really this. I know we're talking about this movie, The Bay, but I'm really proud of this performance in it. It was it was just an awesome chance to get to work with a legend like Barry Levinson. So I'm really proud of that performance. And when y'all see the movie, there's a scene that I'm in that is really I don't want to ruin the movie, but it's craziness, y'all. Mm. Be sure and support. But,
there you go.
I also got to do a movie called Soul Men with Bernie Mac and Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, and Bernie Mac.
And that was a great opportunity for me, just because, first of all, because it was Bernie Mac's last movie. So
yeah.
He did before he passed. And he was just the sweetest, kindest man ever. And I always like to, like I say, when I go on set, I'm focused on several different things. Obviously, my performance, but then I just look at the other, I'm studying all the time. I'm looking at the other actors and how they're handling themselves and just kind of their countenance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just learn from watching, just from watching them and talking to them, and, you know, they'll share their stories, and it's just really a cool, cool learning experience. And so that film was a great learning experience for me. I also did another movie called My Future Boyfriend. It was an ABC family movie, but they had Valerie Bertinelli. I don't know if you remember her. She was like,
oh yes, I love her.
How do we not remember her? Love her, long time fan.
All right, so she had a TV series called Valerie back in the day, or something
yeah.
like
yes,
that. I remember watching it when I was a little kid. But what was awesome is just like in between takes, there were five or six actors sitting around. We're just all sitting in our chairs and just. It's just story time. And that's the stuff that I remember the most, you know. The acting was awesome. But she's just telling stories about going to Academy Award dinners with Christopher Walken. And just awesome stuff. The stories and the things that you get are priceless. And that's the stuff that, unfortunately, a lot of y'all don't get to see.
Right, and I'd love to just sit on a movie set one day with all these actors that have been around forever and sit and listen to their stories, because I know I would never want to leave. I would make them keep talking.
That's for sure.
So I could definitely
understand
that.
There's the highs and there's the highs and the lows of the business. You know, I was And they happen in a matter of seconds, just so you know.
Right.
I did a movie called A Year Without a Santa Claus, and it had John Goodman in it. It had do y'all remember Delta Burke? He was designing women. Okay, she was on it. She was a sweetheart. Just you know, again, this one of those times where she's sitting around telling all kinds of stories. But the reason I was telling you how things change within a matter of moments. Yeah, I remember we were shooting a scene. I know they were shooting a scene about to come to my scene, and the director came out and basically said, "We're not going to have time to shoot your scene." And so I'm just like, "Are you kidding me?" Like there were already some stuff that I'd shot, but this was a really cool one-on-one scene with Delta Burke.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Yeah, we're not going to be able to do it." So immediately, what do you say? I'm just kind of like, "Okay,
right, yeah,
thanks, all right." So I'm down in the pit, right?
Yep.
And then, like 20 minutes later, they come back and like, "Jody, we're ready for you to do your scene." So I'm back up on cloud nine. So we actually shot the scene, and it turned out to be one of the coolest scenes in the whole movie.
It's a good thing awesome. You didn't leave.
It's true. What's cool about that film is, first of all, my daughter, I have a little five-year-old daughter, she thinks that I'm a real elf. I played an elf in that movie, and got to handle the reindeer and stuff, so she thinks that I work for Santa. So it's
that
pretty
is so
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
I
that
also have
so
my
good.
my five. I guess my niece was was 3 or 4 at the time, and she got to come out. I think we shot that one in Louisiana somewhere, and she got to come out there's not many uncles that can deliver Santa Claus and the North Pole and mm-hmm. reindeer, but I did. You know, I was like, here it is. I got the North Pole for you. And so I remember a couple of years ago, I said, hey, you remember when I took you to see Santa and the reindeer in North Pole? She has no recollection of it. And it broke my heart. So I was like, come on.
But you have to remember you made her happy at that time, too. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Now, what's the best advice another actor or somebody in the field gave you when you were first starting out?
Best advice. You know what? I'm getting best advice still.
Are you?
Get best advice. The last film I did, I got awesome advice from an actor who was... I can't remember his name, but he's been in a lot of stuff. He said the following, and this is for actors also who are just starting out. I always tell actors, don't, if they're trying to do film acting, that is, mm-hmm. I tell them not to move to LA immediately. I tell them to try and become a big fish in a small pond. So
right.
wherever they're at, if there's any film or find out what city is actually shooting something and try and get your name out in that town. So Seattle, for instance, has a good market. Atlanta, where I'm at, is a very hot market. Louisiana, all over the state, hot market. Wilmington, hot market. So there's all these pockets all over the country where people can go and actually make a name for themselves
right.
before they take the step to move out to LA. Now, the advice I got was this actor said that basically you don't want to move to LA, and this rides on what I just told you. He mm-hmm. said you don't want to move to LA until you're invited to the party. So basically, you don't want to go crashing the party, he said. And that's everyone who moves out there and tries to get an agent without having had any parts under their belt. So you want to create a name for yourself where you're at. You want to get some heat going on you. And then they'll come sending the invitations to you.
Wow, that's good advice.
That is great advice.
I mean,
because
you can start your acting career right now.
Yeah.
Well, too, I think it probably helps to keep, you know, an aspiring actor, actress, you know, in the whole thing in proper perspective, you know, where it's okay, you know, not to bite off more than you can chew, so to speak. And I think it is, you know, a step-by-step process. So that's great advice, very great advice.
Yeah, definitely. It's something. Yeah, it's a slow climb, you know. But there's some actors who make it in a week, and then there's some actors who basically have a slow climb. But for most actors, when someone says, "Wow, that person is an overnight success," they didn't see the 15 years. that actor spent to get to be an overnight success.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So no one's really an overnight success.
Now, are you musically inclined at all? Do you sing or play an instrument?
I play guitar a little bit and sing a little bit, write my own songs a little bit. Actually, when I go and do stand-up, a lot of times I have some goofier kind of comical songs that I sing. So, yeah, a little bit musically inclined.
Anything we can find on YouTube? I would love to see that.
definitely do not have anything on YouTube. I really don't know if I want to tell about my other project. I have a comedy album on iTunes that if you wanted to pick it up, it's just possibly one of the craziest things ever. So a lot of experimental, crazy, comical songs of every different variety. But that's on iTunes, and it's called Willow Wheat Knot.
Willow Wheat Knot. Okay.
That's it. And obviously Jody Thompson, Willow Wheat Knot. And it is, I'm not proud of it at all. So be sure and check it out.
Oh, that's so funny.
Well, we're getting to the end of our interview, and I want to ask you to describe yourself in three words.
Man, everything's in threes on this show.
All right, I'll give you five. You can do five words.
Okay. Myself in three words. All right, this is cheesy. Are you ready for the cheese?
I'm ready. I got my cracker.
Okay, so, but when I say this, I need both of you in unison to go, Okay, ready?
Okay, so we're ready.
Myself in three words would be daddy, husband, actor.
Aww.
Thank you.
That's so sweet.
Thank you very much. Take care of the wait staff. If you do drink, please don't drive. God bless.
But you put them in the right order, and I love that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
I was debating on putting acting first. I really was. So.
And you know that would have came back and bit you, right?
Oh, definitely. I'll make sure my wife doesn't hear this. But she has to hear this, see, because I support, just like everyone out there who's listening is going to support, can watch The Bay.
Yes.
Came out November 2nd. You guys check it out. Be sure to.
Oh, we will. And you know what? Once Don and I see it, we're going to tweet you, and we're going to let you know it. How's that?
Fantastic. Look forward to that
perfect tweet.
Anybody that wants to follow you, go ahead and give your Twitter name out.
Yeah, definitely. It is at Jody, J-O-D-Y, T as in the first letter of my last name, Thompson, and then Flo, F-L-O, the waitress on Alice. That is correct.
Oh, I loved her.
You can kiss my grip. Well, you can kiss my grip.
There you go.
See, that's the banjo.
Perfect.
She was the original banjo.
Yes, she was.
She was good. She was so funny. I love that show. There I go dating myself again. Not really. I watch reruns from, on DVD or something.
You're 18, right?
Yeah. My mom told me about these things.
Yeah,
there you go.
So that is at Jody T. Flo. I would love for you to follow me.
Yes, please follow. And once you see the movie, let them know what you thought of it. And even if you were terrified and it takes you a little bit of time to get on there, go on, let them know. I'm sure I'll be happy to hear it. He did his job well done.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Pam.
And I was going to say, I thank you very much for joining us. It was a blast, and we'd love to have you back again in the near future when you have something new coming up. Just give us a holler.
That sounds great. Thank you, Pam. Thank you. Thank you, Don. You guys take care, okay?
Thank you so much.
You too.
Take care, Jenny.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I have to say that was one of the funniest interviews we've done recently, with us being brand new. It was a different type of interview, and I loved it. I loved it. He cracked me up. I just knew he had to have done stand-up comedy somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a fun interview, and gosh, it was a great time. And the hour flew by. I don't know if you thought that.
I couldn't believe it when I looked at the clock, and I thought, okay, how are we doing on time here? And I saw we only had a few minutes left, so. That was fun.
He He was absolutely delightful, and I have to say, this was your first interview where I laughed the most. I have laughed or chuckled, you know, through it. So you can tell that his first love is stand-up and that he, you know, has done a lot of that because he was just very witty and, you know, just very off the hip with some of his comebacks. And so it was just really neat how he presented himself. So, yeah, I hope we can have him back again sometime.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And I'm going to catch up. I was watching the trailer for Butter, and that looks like a really funny movie. So I'm going to have to watch that one and a few others that I was watching from his IMDb.
Well, did you ever see Sweet Home Alabama?
Oh, I've seen it a million times. It's one of my
favorite
movies.
I have, too. It is one of my favorites, too. And and of course, The Blind Side. I'm sure you've seen that one. I love that one as well. So, and I didn't even know. I did not know that he had a role in both of those. And think about how huge those movies were.
Exactly.
And the Bay has really raked in money at the box office and has proven to be quite, you know, the movie. So, wow. I'm sure we're going to see a lot more from him as time goes on.
I believe so. And I look forward to him someday sitting down maybe with his friend and getting that Johnny Cash movie out because I think it would be a great movie.
Oh, yeah. I love the concept of that. I mean, it's just very interesting right out of the gate. I mean, when he uttered Folsom Prison and Johnny Cash, that was really awesome.
That was it, yeah.
They need to be sold. You know, I was like, oh,
right.
Whatever the concept is, it's going to be great because of the you know, that in itself. So,
right.
Like, write the movie, write it.
Well, I wanted to also make an announcement that we were supposed to have Eric Braden tomorrow, but that's might have to be rescheduled because of his work schedule. He may not be able to make it, but we're supposed to find out. Are we supposed to find out tomorrow?
Actually, later this evening. So
later this evening.
As a matter of fact, as soon as we get off air, I'm going to check my email to see if I've received anything on that. And if we are going to have to reschedule, then we will be tweeting that out for anyone who may have been looking to tune in or call in. Be looking for us for a tweet from us one way or the other to say whether he is or is not going to be able to be here. So, but we would if not, we will definitely have him rescheduled to be on as soon as possible. So no doubt about it. So.
Anybody listening in, make sure you follow us at Take 2 Radio. That's the number 2. Dawn's Twitter is Dawn Take 2 Radio. And then we also have our website, which is take2radio.com, and we're on Facebook as well. So you can pretty much catch up with whatever we got going on and up and coming. We tried, Dawn gets everything on the website as soon as we find out. If we do not have a show tomorrow, join us on Saturday, though, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and that'll be 4 Central and 2 Pacific. We're going to have Mary Barrett, and she's a spiritual advisor, psychic, medium, certified hypnotist, and a certified Reiki master, which I'm not sure exactly what that is, so we'll find out on Saturday. She's an author, a show host, a motivational speaker, so there's a lot to learn from her. And who knows, she might all of a sudden yell out into the chat room about somebody she's connected with for you.
Yeah.
So be sure to tune in for that. If you'd like to call in, our phone number is 1-718-506-1540. Be sure to press the number 1 so that way we know to pick up your call if you want to speak to the guest.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, we have Michael Damian.
Yeah.
And he not only from The Young and the Restless, but he's also a singer and a director, a writer, a producer, and he will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time as well. So, again, that's 5 Central and 3 Pacific. And same phone number if you'd like to call in and speak with him. And then we'll leave it at that. We'll make the other announcements as the time comes up. Oh, well, we can probably go ahead and announce Monday. We have Christoph St. John from The Young and the Restless. Thanks to Dawn.
I'm really excited about that interview because I've always been a big fan of his, and so it's going to be interesting. I love to watch him tweeting on Twitter and follow him on Facebook, and he has some of the best posts, and a lot of them just crack you up. I mean,
oh, me too.
I just love it. So it's going to be fun. I think it'll be a fun interview. It'll be great having him here. So we're looking forward to that, and that'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern on Monday.
And 8 o'clock Central and 6 o'clock Pacific.
There you go.
I'm getting good with breaking these down.
Yeah, it's probably the hardest for me because I'm on the East Coast. So I always forget that you're an hour behind me. So I have to really put my thinking cap on when I'm, you know, when we're scheduling these shows sometimes.
I know.
But we make it work, you know, we make it work. But So you can tune in for that. And then, of course, as the weekend goes on, we will give you more of an idea of our schedule for next week. As you know, next week is Thanksgiving, and so we will not be on air Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday of next week to take time off for the holidays and to enjoy time with our family. So
exactly.
So we hope everyone else out there has a great holiday as well. But,
exactly.
But we've got some great shows between now and then, so you guys just stay tuned and keep following us on Twitter and keep looking for the tweets. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with the great talent that we're bringing to you. So.
And you said it all right there, so I think we'll go ahead and wrap up. I wanted to thank everybody for listening and for joining us in the chat room. Shout out to Brenda, David, and Jen. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Don, for co-hosting with me again. It's always a pleasure. And I think that's it. You have any goodbyes?
Well, thank you, everyone. Like Pam said, thank you to everyone for being here and listening in. If you're a first-time listener, I hope that this is not your last time. I hope you'll be back. And so thank you, Pam, for allowing me to be here with you. It's been great.
You're welcome. I enjoy it. You know that. All right, good night, everybody, and sweet dreams when you hit the pillows, and God bless. Good night, Dawn.
Good night, Pam.